and have 1 year of sobriety, please leave your name and phone number with our secretary, our interim secretary, it's Kip back there, or see one of the members of our speaker committee, Damian or Larry, after the break or after the meeting so that we can contact you as our 10-minute speaker. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Kenny from New York.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kenny. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm from New York. And I thought I'd open with, I'll make you guys a little bit of a deal. If you try not to judge me, I'll try not to butcher the English language too bad. Yeah, so please try not to, compare, but try to identify. I don't have much time. So, basically, I didn't know why I kept showing up back in these rooms. I kept going to treatment centers. I kept ending up in these meetings. I didn't know what the reason why. And I thought it was accumulation of all these, my mom being a drug addict or my stepfather being abusive or bad luck and the cops picking on me and all this other stuff. And I'd end up here. And I didn't know why, because I always thought that, to be an alcoholic, I had to have certain consequences or have certain circumstances. And that was false. And this last time when I went in treatment and I got out, God placed somebody in my life, and they took me to the big book, and they took me to page 44, and they qualified me. And, went through it together. And he asked me, was I able to quit when I honestly want to, based on my own resources? Was I able to put it down? And the answer was obviously no, because I kept ending up here with you guys, he said, when I did pick up the drink, was I able to control the amount I took? And I said, no. And he said, that's the physical allergy. And he said, it sounds like you're an alcoholic. And if that's the case, you suffer from a twofold disease, a mental obsession coupled with a physical allergy. And he said, if it was just a physical allergy, you wouldn't have to read this book. We wouldn't have to have these meetings, The answer would be very simple. You just stay away from the first drink. And, I prayed in the beginning before I had a higher power. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that I was a hard drinker. I didn't want this obsession. No way did I want this obsession. And, I don't know at what point it happened, but my eyes were open, and I was able to see the real evidence that I couldn't stay away from the first drink. And, the book tells me that the real problem, the alcoholic, centers in the mind. So, that being said, that's why we're all here tonight. Well, those of us that are alcoholics anyway, that's why I was here. And I came to find that out, that I was alcoholic. And it didn't matter how much I drank, but it was what happened when I drank. It was what alcohol did to me. And, he explained to me that this is great. We identified the problem. We diagnosed the problem. If you concede your innermost self that you're alcoholic, you've just taken the first step in recovery. And that's great. That's great that we're all here tonight. That's all great that we share, in a common peril. But that in itself could not save us, he told me. He told me the fellowship may be indispensable, but the fellowship will not produce the spiritual experience necessary to relieve this obsession. He said, there is a solution, a common solution, and it's the 12 steps. And he said, any other message in this program is not the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, we went on to step two, and he explained to me step one and two are, this is just my experience, step one and two are conclusion steps, are not action steps. We already did one. I established I'm an alcoholic. Step two, came to believe that power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I knew people were out there finding solution. I knew you people were getting well. I knew I didn't have the answer. And, I thought I had to decide what my higher power was going to be. And he said, don't worry about that. He called it the second step hook. He said, do you believe that I believe? And I said, yeah. And he said, that's enough. He said, let's move on to step three. And, we got to step three. And he said, are you convinced that your life run on your self-will can hardly be a success? And I said, I don't know. I have some problems with alcohol, but, in other parts of my life, I feel like a success. And he said, I can't help you. He said, you need to go home and think about it. And I went home, and, I just truly knew I didn't have the answer. And I didn't know what I was doing with step three. And he just reminded me that I said I would be willing to go to any length. And we got on our knees with the third step prayer. It was very uncomfortable. I didn't understand what it meant. He said, "That's okay." He goes, "You're not meant to understand." He said, "You'll know what it means when we take some more action, you know, after we get through these, you know, 4 through 12. And he put me to work on 4 right away. And thank God for step 4, man, because it finally showed me the truth that I always thought that everybody else was to blame. You know, I thought it was the police. I thought it was my mom. I thought it was the things that happened to me when I was a kid. That was a lie. You know, the truth was, is that almost every action in my life was based out of this self-centered fear in some form or another. And he walked me through the fourth step. And I still use that same, you know, when I do 10 on a daily basis, I use the same type of inventory. I try to identify the fear so I can ask God to take it away. So I try to figure out what the problem is. And we did a fifth step. And something happens when one alcoholic honestly shares with another. You know, I believe God shows up, and, you know, he helped me. I couldn't have done this alone, but somebody cared enough to help me. And, you know, we did 4, we did 5, and he helped me to find out what my defects were. You know, he helped me to find the truth. And by the time I got to, through with 5, I knew what was holding me back. I knew the things that were blocking me from God. I knew what to work on in 6 and 7. And, you know, he asked me if I was willing in 6, and I thought that that was a very easy question. Of course I'm willing, but, you know, upon closer inspection, it's not so easy. These tools that I lived my life with for the last 30-plus years of dishonesty, self-centeredness, you know, they're very convenient, and it was really the only way I knew how to live. You know, I found myself in a transition going through these steps. I didn't really know who I was. I was... You know, I started to stop talking about other people, and as a result, I didn't have too much to say. So in 6, the only way I truly knew I was willing is when I did take it to God in 7. You know, and I didn't even know what that, I didn't know what that meant. This whole thing started with a prayer in the morning and a prayer at night. And at some point through this process, I learned that this power would solve all my problems if I would just go, you know, I had to just go to him with everything. And that's what I did with the lust, with the finances, with everything. And in exchange, I got growing peace. You know, and then in 8, when I first got here, I knew I wasn't willing to make amends. By the time I got to 8, I had already gotten a taste of your guys' way of life. I wanted more, and I was willing. I was willing to clear the wreckage. And he saw me through 9, some of my most important amends, and he explained to me that this isn't about you. It's not even about the other person. This is about you clearing away the wreckage so that you could have a stronger relationship with this higher power. And, you know, just like the book says, it doesn't lie. I was amazed before I was halfway through, and the promises came true. And in 10, you know, 10 says continued to take personal inventory. I can't continued one time. So this was a process, you know. I worked 10 on a daily basis. And as a result of a couple months and eventually a couple years' time, thousands of inventories, I became a better person. I changed. I don't know what had happened. I woke up one day and I had already been practicing 11. 11 became the most important part of my life. And, you know, I didn't believe in God. I don't know what you guys did to me. Really, I wanted to stop hurting the people in my life. I wanted to stop drinking and doing drugs. And instead, I started becoming a really good person. I think. I don't want my ego to get away. So, you know, all my sponsors very big on service. And, you know, by the time I get to step 12, you know, step 12 is so important. It's got its own chapter. It's got its own side of the triangle. And, you know, I really, got to experience these blessings. I always thought, if I was doing for you guys, if I was always doing for other people, then how am I going to get what I need? How am I going to get what I want? And past experience has shown me that any time I ever got what I want, I was miserable. You know, I always thought it was a relationship, the car, the house. You know, the next cigarette, I quit smoking, by the way. I thought it was all these things, and it was none of it. You know, the true self-worth came from self-sacrifice. And I learned that in this program is 100% about doing what you don't want to do. It's those things that you don't want to do that give me the freedom that I have today. You know, so if you're here and you're new and you don't think you belong, welcome. If you don't like any of these people, welcome. You know, I didn't think I could do this. I didn't think I could be a meeting guy. I didn't think I could be a guy like this. But then again, I didn't know what I could be. I can't, in 10 minutes' time, I can't thank you all enough, and I can't express my gratitude with simple words. I try to do it with my actions on a daily basis. I don't know where I'd be without this program. Thank you all so much for having me here tonight.